All right. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It's great to have you along once again. We are talking about reading the Bible and reasons for reading the Bible. This is a second part to this short series. Actually, it might be longer. I do plan to cover a number of different things, including canonization of the scripture, probably some hermeneutics, and also some translational history as well. I think that is important today, although by faith, we simply believe what the Word of God says about itself, and then we apply that to our life. Thus saith the Lord is the key to understanding the scriptures and our approach to them. It is God's book. We are privileged to have this precious gem in our possession, and God has been gracious in providing it for us, and we should take every opportunity to read it and study it and apply it in our lives. It is the perfect book of God, and it is everything it declares itself to be. And when we read the scripture, we see these declarations both in the Old and the New Testament as to what it is that we are reading, and we are reading the Word of God. And today I want to talk about a couple of things, a couple of reasons why we should read the Bible. Number one, reading the Bible regularly will boost our confidence. In other words, reading the Bible on a regular basis will boost our faith. The Lord knows we need more faith. And reading the Bible, reading the accounts of the prophets of old, the great saints of God, even in the New Testament with the apostles, and the works of Christ, the life of Christ, the word of Christ, boosts our faith. We're reading the very inspired word of God, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It is the very word of God. So when we are reading and studying and meditating on the scriptures, they become a part of our being, and we find in them the many answers to the many questions and issues and answers to the struggles that we have in this life. We fill our being with the Word of God. We fill our being with God Himself. We're told in Peter to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. New Age occultism, unfortunately, will leave people lacking spiritually. And there is a lot of that creeping into today's modern church. And I can only encourage the people of God to check the things that you allow into your life, into your home, through the TV, through your phone, occultic items even that you may have in the home that you may not even consider being occultic and offensive to God. You can't have peace with God. You can't have a boost in your faith if you are entertaining occultic practices or idols, which things are an offense to God. It is amazing to me how many people will justify some sinful thing that God is offended by and justify it by saying, it's okay, it's a Christian thing. We've taken the blunt edge off of this particular thing, and so there, it's just fun now. It's just the game. You know, like the Ouija board, it's just a game. It's just a board game. No, it's not just a board game. It's a device. It's a satanic tool. Don't mess around with that stuff. And too many people are. We wonder why the church lacks power today. We have all the power we need in the Word of God. The Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow. As Christians, we want to fill any voids or gaps that we have in our lives with hope. Hope that is based on the certain Word of Almighty God. And so we live experimentally in the realm of providence, confirmed through God's spoken word. So when we talk about experiential or experimental theology, it addresses how a Christian experiences the truth of Christian doctrine in his life. This as opposed to occultism and other forms of support that are outside the realm of Scripture. The term experimental comes from the Latin experimentum, meaning trial. It is derived from the word experior, meaning to try, prove, or put to the test. So by experiential or experimental theology, we mean Christ-centered theology, which stresses that for salvation, sinners must by faith have a personal, experiential, Spirit-worked knowledge of Christ and by extension of all the great truths of Scripture. End quote. That was a quote. I didn't write the reference down, but I wanted to make sure I made note of that. The confidence that we gain is more than just in the Word of God. It is also seen in our confidence in God Himself and the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, reading the Bible is a way to defend against the attacks of our adversary. The Lord did this, Matthew 4, when Satan came and tested him. Jesus responded back, the Scripture states. And so he responded back and refuted Satan by quoting the Scripture. So knowing the word of the Lord will give us a good handle on the truth and what our adversary is up to. We should not be ignorant of his devices. By reading the Bible regularly, you put on the armor of God and you keep Satan and sin from getting a stranglehold in your life. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. We are also prepared through sound doctrinal preaching and vigilant application in our own lives. We are also warned in Scripture that perilous times shall come. Ephesians 4, 14, 1 Timothy 4, 1. The third thing, reading the Bible regularly helps you to become more Christ-like in your thinking. Many today have accepted much of the modern thought and have become secularized in their behavior and positions morally and spiritually. Always allow the Bible to have preeminence over the opinions and thoughts and philosophy of men. So by reading the Bible, you're reading the mind of Christ. And in so doing, you cultivate a mind that is fashioned after the mind of Christ. John 14, 26, 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 12, and 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 16. Reading your Bible regularly defines moral boundaries. And Lord knows we need more moral boundaries today. The secular humanist says there are no moral absolutes. Live and die morally free with no restrictions, and that will be the inevitable outcome of such a foolish philosophy. The Christian worldview, again, going back to what I talked about the last time, is based on these two truths. Number one, God exists, and that number two, God has spoken to us in the Bible. If these two presuppositions aren't the starting point in the Christian worldview, then we leave ourselves open to every whim of falsehood in a fallen world. And so there is a difference between secular and biblical morality. For example, the difference between Webster's definition and God's definition of morality speaks to where each of us puts our faith and trust. Today's changing moral climate and conditional ethics highlight in stark terms the differences between God's perfect morality and man's changing definition. So America is changing their views or her views on morality. George Barna in the Arizona Christian Cultural Research Center just completed an in-depth survey of morality in the United States. This was in 2022. And the summary goes like this. 71% contend that human beings rather than God should be the judge of right and wrong. 71%. Think about those numbers. And when the next time you go out and preach the gospel and call for repentance and holy living, think about those numbers. 71% contend that human beings rather than God should be the judge of right and wrong. 42% believe what you feel in your heart is the best determiner of morality. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out where that's going to lead. What you feel in your heart is the best determiner of morality. 29% believe morality should be determined by majority rule. Well, what if it was a Christian majority? Would they agree then? Probably not. But I understand the point of this poll question. 29% of Americans believe that the Bible should be mankind's guide for our morality. 29%. That's not good. 66% of Americans who claim to have a biblical worldview stated that the Bible should be the main source of determining right from wrong. Then we have reading the Bible inspires hope. One more oft-repeated question is, what happens when you die? What is the afterlife? Where will I spend eternity? Is there a hell? Is there more to life than just this? I mean, shouldn't we all just live and then die, and then there's no more? But the Bible teaches us that there is more to life. There is an eternity, and there is a God, and there is a place called heaven, and it is our eternal hope. It is what we long for. It is what we live for. It is what we serve for. We serve in response to the graciousness of our great Savior, Jesus Christ, who went and prepared this place for us. Reading the Bible identifies the center in your life. You know, every now and then, things get a little bit out of control in our life. We lose our way, backslide, we fall away. We just get off balance a little bit. The Bible is the means to finding your way back and helping you to realign things in your life. You know, once we get away from the Bible as the center, something else is going to fill that spot in. And that's secular humanism. Postmodern society will determine, not the Bible, will determine what is moral and what is right and what is wrong. The Bible, my friends, keeps us anchored to the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 7, reading the Bible shows you who you are. You're not just random atoms gathered together through some evolutionary process. We're not random beings in varying stages of evolutionary development. We were created by a holy being in his image and for his glory, Genesis 1, 23 through 27. We are special in the eyes of Almighty God. We are not insignificant beings who are just droning on with no purpose in life. There is a purpose for us, and that purpose comes to us from a higher being, from God, our Creator, and Jesus Christ, our Savior. And then, number 8, reading the Bible draws you closer to God. Through the daily reading of God's Word, you learn more and more about Him and His love and plans for your life. He brings comfort and stability like no other. Believers, true believers who have the Spirit of God dwelling within them, have a thirst for God, and the Word helps to quench that thirst. And then, reading the Bible shows how unique we are in the eyes of God. We are called to be a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We do stand out. We are called to be separate from among them. We are called to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are Bible-believing people. We are a people of the book. The book is precious to us. It goes with us in our hearts. It goes with us to church. It goes with us to work. In some cases, many people bring their Bibles to work. It is part of who we are. It is what makes us peculiar in that regard, our faith in it. And then what the Bible does to us in our life, how the Bible guides us and instructs us, the kind of hope that we have. And then reading the Bible, lastly, will help change the world. I really believe this. I believe that the more believers there are, the more Bible believers there are applying the Bible to their life, changes will start in the home, changes will start in the church, changes will start to take place in society. The Bible teaches us the ways of righteousness and purity and holiness. The Bible has the power to save sinners, born again, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We are told, my friends, to preach the word, to be instant, in season, out of season. We're told faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word is an integral part of our life as Christians, and we must endeavor to read it, to study it, to meditate upon it, and to apply it in our lives. And that is it for this particular section of this series. Be sure to stop back and check for any updates and new podcasts. But have a blessed day. Take care, and we'll talk to you soon.